Good morning, everybody. I am obviously not able to be with you all today. I am on vacation, but I wanted to record a message to share with you all anyway, partially because we're going through this fantastic collection of parables that Jesus has left for us, all of which having to do with the kingdom of God, all of which frequently having at least something that rather to do with ordinary life, ordinary objects, things like farming and commerce. Lessons that Jesus used to teach a crowd to understand better how it is that God is moving in their midst. Now, in the last few weeks, we've had singular parables, stories that were told from beginning to end, and sometimes even stories that Jesus would pause afterwards and explain. Well, in today's collection of gospel texts, because it is a collection of texts, we've got not just one, but multiple parables, all of which are ended with Jesus basically asking his crowd, "Did you get all that?" And they say yes, and we move on with the story. No explanations offered. And I'm not quite sure that's entirely fair, because when we read today's gospel passages, I'm afraid we're missing something key. Now, you may or may not know this about me, but I am an enormous fan of mysteries. I love mystery novels, I love mystery movies, I love mystery television shows. One of my favorite genres of mystery, what they call nowadays a trope, is when you're watching that mystery unfold and the killer or the thief or the criminal or whoever it is that they're trying to solve the mystery about seems to have a fairly obvious answer. And there's usually a period of time in which it seems like whoever it is who's doing the detecting, whether it's the police or a private detective or maybe just somebody that owns a bed and breakfast, you just never know about these things, has put all the pieces together and the obvious criminal has been captured, and all of the main characters are having a moment to reflect on how wonderful it was that they managed to solve this crime, when somebody, usually our main character, pauses for a moment and gets that look in their eyes that says, wait a minute, when they look at something and go, I think we missed something. We might have gotten the wrong person. And sure enough, it turns out to be the least likely suspect, that just one little bit of information shifted the whole narrative. Well, when we're reading today's gospel parables, I sort of feel like we've got a mystery going on, because Jesus asked the question at the end, did you follow all that? Did you understand all that? Does that all make sense to you? And a crowd goes, well, yes, of course we did. But did they? Or do we? So as we read through today's gospel narrative, and we've got all of these little tidbits of parable, Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of God is like. And we get mustard seeds, and we get yeast, and we get these two great little nuggets in which the kingdom of God is compared to a treasure that someone found in a field. And somebody said to me, well, who's finding treasures in fields, by the way? We're like lots and lots of pirate maps going around back then. How is this a thing? Well, you know, honestly, people used to bury their treasures in fields a lot. Why would they do that? Well, kind of a complete absence of banks. Think about it. If you had a whole bunch of coin and you weren't quite sure where to put it, not like you could go down to the local Chase Bank and put it all in a safety deposit box or even deposit it in your account. So people had to get creative about how they put their valuables in a safe place. And sometimes, actually, not supposedly all that infrequently, people would do it by burying a cache of coins somewhere safe that they can come back to later. So the parable in which Jesus talks about somebody goes out and he finds one of these caches of coins. Well, you know, honestly, the person who found the cache of coins could have just dug it up and ran off. But of course, the person in the story is a great deal more honest. He simply goes, sells everything he has, and purchases the field. And now the cache of coins is his because it was in the field. And then there's this next story in which somebody finds a pearl, not just any pearl, but an incredibly valuable, perfect pearl, sells everything they have, and purchases the pearl. Now, as readers of all of these stories, whether it's the mustard seed or the yeast or the fisher or the treasures that are found either in oysters or in fields, oftentimes we read that and go, that's an easy mystery to solve. I understand what that is. Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is great, not just great, the kingdom of God is the most important thing there is. And so the kingdom of God is like this pearl of infinite value. I should be willing to set aside everything I have in order to attain for myself this incredible treasure. The same thing's true for the treasure that's found in the field. It's of so much value that I should sacrifice and throw away everything I have in order that I might receive and retain for myself this incredible treasure in the field. And so we, the detectives of the story, might feel confident in sitting around and saying, we got our man. We figured it out. We can pat ourselves on the back. Justice has been served. The mystery has been solved. We can move on. But if a sharp-eyed reader looks carefully at those stories, they're going to have one of those mystery moments when they go, wait a minute, there's a clue we've all overlooked. And suddenly there's a new meaning, something important that was utterly and completely overseen. And what is that? Well, let's think about the parable of the treasure. What is the kingdom of God like? Well, it's like this treasure that someone finds in a field, and they go out and they sacrifice everything they have in order that they might obtain for themselves a treasure. Or it's like this pearl where somebody finds it in the market and is like, man, this pearl dealer doesn't know what they've got. I'm going to sell everything I have, then I will purchase this pearl of great value, and now I have gained so much more. It almost implies, and I think many of us would assume this on first reading, that what we need to do is be willing to sacrifice all of ourselves in order that we might earn for ourselves the salvation that God is providing as part of his kingdom. That we should be willing to sacrifice all that we have in order that we might procure for ourselves the kingdom of God. But that doesn't square with the rest of the narrative of the gospel. If you think about it very carefully, let's take the 12 apostles. 12 individuals, well, 11, because we're not going to count Judas Iscariot in this group. 11 individuals who very much took great pains to change their lives, follow Jesus, put themselves in enormous danger. One could say, well, did they achieve and receive salvation as a result of their great effort? Well, the answer is actually no. They did not receive salvation because they put their plans on hold and left their fishing vessels or whatever it is that they left to follow Jesus. What is it that Scripture tells us that they received? Well, they received salvation. How is it that Scripture tells us they received that salvation? They received it by grace through faith. Well, then who purchased the salvation in the first place? Better yet, who paid the greatest price? Well, if you think about it long enough, you begin to realize that aha moment of putting the clues together and going, wait a minute. The Scriptures tell us that the Son set aside his glory in heaven to come down and live amongst us on earth. And then he preached, he taught, he suffered persecution, death on the cross, and entered into the grave himself. Why? In order to carry our sins into death, to destroy the power of sin itself, in order that in his resurrection we might share in it likewise, and in doing so receive the gift of new life, forgiveness, renewal. If you think a little bit more about this story, suddenly if somebody's paying the full price, and somebody has discovered this immense treasure that's hidden in the dirt or inside a smelly oyster, the person doing the discovering and the selling and the sacrificing suddenly becomes Jesus. The hole in the ground or the smelly oyster suddenly becomes the world, and this incredible treasure that the person who's found it is willing to give up everything for, miraculously and inexplicably, is us. We're the one that Jesus sacrificed himself for. We're the one that Jesus gave everything he had to receive. We're the one that God has purchased from sin and death in order that we might be a part of the kingdom of God. When we really put the clues together and we think deeply, we suddenly realize that the real solution to this mystery wasn't the obvious one. It's the one, though, that the clues lead to, that we're the treasure, that in God's eyes, you and I are a treasure so valuable, so desirable, that God the Son is willing to cast his life aside for you and for me. That's a different reading, I think, from this text other than the one we would initially assume that it had. And in that way, we realize that Jesus is conveying something that I'm not sure the crowds really did understand when he said, "Do you understand what I'm saying?" I don't think they could have understood until he went to the cross. I think when he went to the cross, maybe a lot of people had an aha moment where they went, "Ah, that's what he meant all along." And I think he meant for them to discover it that way. And I think he means for us to discover it that way too. So maybe you look at yourself and all you can see is that your life is a dirty hole or a smelly oyster. You don't see the beauty. You don't see the treasure. You don't see the incredible, valuable, unbelievable thing. Well, the good news is you don't have to. Faith doesn't require you to see you. Faith requires you to see God. Unfortunately, God sees us as we are, sees us for what we can be in his kingdom, which is a tremendous treasure, a pearl of infinite value. We are those whom God has sacrificed his life for. We are his treasure. When we realize that is the extent of God's love for us, it changes us. Now we don't see ourselves as just what we thought we were. And it should change how we view our neighbors as well. Because when we look at them and we see a dirty hole in the ground or a smelly bivalve, you know what? We also realize that when God looks at them, he sees value, treasure, something for which he was willing to give his life. So I say to you all on this Sunday morning, as you gather together and you look at and you listen to this text, a text you've probably heard 100 times before, and Jesus says, "Do you understand what I'm telling you now?" Hopefully now you nod your heads and have a deeper understanding and see yourself as God sees you. Well, God bless. Thank you all for being here, and I'll see you all next week. See you then.